Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The gospel lesson for today is from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45, and this can be found in page 1017 of your pew Bible. After the angel's announcement to Mary that she will give birth to the Son of God, she travels to her relative Elizabeth's home. As soon as she arrives, Elizabeth speaks a prophetic blessing from the Spirit over her and the child that she will bear. A reading from Luke chapter 1, beginning with the 39th verse. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Thanks be to God.
Mark and I have a guilty pleasure: Christmas movies. That includes the classics to claymation and even rom-coms. We watched a show that talked about different genres of Christian movies throughout the decades. But what I've come to realize is that there are really two storylines or plot lines in Christmas movies. The first is finding your purpose in life, and the other is finding true love. One of the ones we watched recently had both themes. They kept saying they were looking for a sign from the universe, and the other was they were trying to find my person. Now, I think in some way, we are all looking for a sign from the universe. We would say from God. We all have questions we're carrying around with us on our heart, and we may be asking God for some confirmation. What school should I go to or my kids go to? Who should I date or marry? What is my call or purpose in life? Now, it may be that you've asked God some of those questions for a while now. I know that when I was commuting to 95 many years ago, I kept asking God, should I go to seminary? And my prayer went something like this: please, God, just write the answer on a billboard and I'll do whatever you want. Now, I didn't see a billboard, but sometimes God does intervene in our stories. I know from my life and yours that there are times you get dramatic and clear guidance from God. But there are other times that we find God takes us on a journey, and it's that journey itself that's the answer. So often, though, what I find to be true is that God uses other people in our lives to help us to discern God's leading. And this is exactly what happened today with both Mary and Elizabeth in this story. They both were given supernatural gifts, and I imagine that they were both looking for someone who could confirm what they had heard as God's intention for them and for their unborn child. Now, this Advent season, we've been in a sermon series called Journey to the Manger, and we began with Zechariah, and then we went to Mary, who had an angelic visitor, and then we heard about Joseph's dream, and today we're looking at Elizabeth's confirmation. And in each of these stories, the coming of Jesus is preceded by signs and wonders, which is exactly what Jesus did when he came to earth, signs and wonders. But what's interesting about the story is that God chooses humble, ordinary, seemingly insignificant people, neither having wealth nor fame, to be the ones through whom he's telling his story. Now, what they did have was they all loved the Lord, and they knew the scriptures, and they were living them. They were holy and just and willing to let God upend their lives to say yes to his call. Each one of them was willing to surrender their plans, their safety, and their future to the God who broke into their lives in a dramatic way. And what we find in our journey through these divine encounters is that God used ordinary people just like us to tell his story of redemption and salvation for the world and to prepare the way for Jesus. Now, I love this greeting story in today's text, and I imagine their joy and wonder. They recognize there's a reason to celebrate God and to speak blessing into each other's lives. God gave these two ordinary women extraordinary callings. One of them is the Messiah's mother, the Savior of the world that was so long anticipated. And the other is the mother of his forerunner, the prophet that would come before the Messiah to prepare the way for the coming king. So I want to revisit the text with you and unpack it a little more as we go. But before we look at it again, I just want to remind you what happened in the sermon Gina preached 2 weeks ago. In that text in Luke, right before ours, towards the end of that section, the angel Gabriel is telling Mary, you will bear a son who will be the Messiah. But also, the angel Gabriel says to her, behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Now, when he uses that word, behold, what the angel is saying is, go and check this out. Behold, go and see that what I'm telling you is true. This is something only God could know. So if you go and you find her 6 months pregnant, then everything else I'm telling you is real. Now, I want you to know that because our verse picks up right after that scene. So let's take a look together at verses 39 to 40. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Now, what I love about that text is Mary went with haste. What this saying is describing is that she didn't waste a minute. She raced out to see, is this story true? To confirm what the angel had told her. Now, our next verses give us a little bit more insight into Elizabeth. And if you don't know who she is, I want to tell you a little bit about her. She is the wife of the priest Zechariah. She is much too older to be bearing a child, and she's also a relative of Mary's. In fact, tradition calls her the maternal aunt of Mary. Now, we're also told earlier in the chapter that when she became pregnant, she remained quiet and hidden. Now, we don't know why she decided to stay quiet and hidden. Maybe she thought there'd be ridicule. Maybe she was just savoring this little miracle, this long-answered prayer that God gave her, and enjoying being pregnant. But what we do know from words that she spoke is that she was well acquainted with Scripture and a woman of deep faith. Back in verse 25, she actually says words from Genesis 30, words that Rachel spoke in the Bible when she became pregnant. And those words are, God has done this for me and taken away my disgrace. I love how she knew Scripture well enough that she used it to describe her own experience and to praise God in the midst of it. Now, what happens next in the story is the first time that someone encounters the living Christ. And amazingly enough, it happens when Jesus is in his mother's womb. Now that Jesus is on the scene, we see the Holy Spirit arrives to make known that God's redemption plan is in process right now. And we know now in flesh appearing, Jesus has come among us. And I want you to see how this unfolds in verse 41. We'll take a look. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So what it's telling us is that when Mary arrives carrying the baby Jesus inside her, it was just the sound of Mary's greeting that caused the baby in Elizabeth's womb to leap for joy. Now, before I was pregnant, I thought that this leaping for joy was such a beautiful thing. But we know a six-month-old baby is big enough that if it were leaping for joy in the womb, it would have impact. Now, when I got pregnant, I started to realize when there were, you know, elbows going by and feet jumping on the bladder or the rib cage, that movement in utero is not always that pleasant. However, I will tell you, we know Elizabeth's story is different because what happened to her was she was filled with the Holy Spirit at that moment. It was joyful. It was amazing. It was glorious. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the scriptures tell us in God's presence is the fullness of joy. So she was filled with joy in this moment. And we also know another proof that she was filled with joy, and that is that she couldn't help but cry aloud. Those words that you're going to see in our next verse, they're describing sing exuberantly or burst forth. So we have her bursting forth with this moment. A chain reaction is set off. Jesus appears in utero. John in utero responds just as he would later when in life, when he's the prophet announcing to the people, the Son of God is here. And that caused the Holy Spirit to fill up in Elizabeth. And she can't help but praise God and burst aloud with joy. Joy creates joy, creates joy. And I want to look at what Elizabeth says when she cries aloud. Let's look at verses 42 through 45 together. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment was what was spoken to her from the Lord." Now, just as Elizabeth had quoted Rachel earlier in the chapter, now in her greeting to Mary, she quotes another woman from the Bible. In the book of Judges, the prophetess Deborah sings a song about Yahweh, a woman who saves her people. And she begins with a line that Elizabeth uses to extol Mary's faith. "Blessed are you among women." Now, what's fascinating here is by quoting two women from the Hebrew scriptures, we see Elizabeth operating in her gifting. She knows scripture well, and she can interpret its fulfillment. Remember, Elizabeth is a descendant of Aaron. She comes from the priestly line of God's people. And like her ancestors, she's speaking words of blessing and commissioning to Mary. Now, she does this by prophesying three powerful promises. The first is, blessed is she among women, blessed is Jesus, the fruit of her womb, and blessed is she who has believed that that which was foretold will come to pass. Now, that word blessing, when we bless others, we automatically are praising God. To be blessed means to be filled with God's peace, joy, and deep contentment. blessed is fully satisfied. When we're blessed, we are drawn to exalt and worship God. Now, Elizabeth's priestly role didn't end here. At the end of the chapter, when her son John is born and being circumcised, she actually is the one who names him first. He will be called John. And it wasn't until Zechariah writes on the tablet, yes, his name will be John, that he was freed to speak again. And his first response, praising God. Now, for me, this whole story is so full of wonder. It made me think of those Christmas movies. So often they're about people or children getting presents they didn't earn or deserve. Or it might be about helping someone less fortunate to receive a gift in this season. Now, why is that part of our collective cultural experience? Maybe it's because it's our secular answer to the word wonder. We receive a gift we didn't earn and don't deserve, and it often shows scenes of children coming, rushing forward to see a tree that's been transformed with packages and bows underneath it. And there are a lot of squeals and laughter, delight and surprise, joy and wonder. But we know those packages often get opened and used and then forgotten. But there is a divine gift that has eternal value. And that is the baby that Mary is carrying inside her. And these two women are singing about his mission. So we've considered a little bit about Elizabeth's perspective, but I want to notice what happens for Mary in this chain reaction. We see Elizabeth being filled by the Holy Spirit, where God is confirming for Elizabeth what she might have read off a tablet from Zechariah. God had a plan for this baby that she was too old to be having. That got confirmed for her when the sound of Mary's greeting reached her. And then she also is able, in her words to Mary, to confirm for Mary that everything the angel had told her was true. Her aunt was not only pregnant, which reminded her nothing is impossible with God, as the angel had said, but her aunt commissions Mary and this child in her womb. She herself, as part of the chain reaction, bursts forth in song as a result. She's set free to praise. And that famous song, the Magnificat, which follows our verses for today, is in Latin, meaning, my soul magnifies the Lord. It's a powerful song, and you're not going to be surprised to hear that in that song, Mary actually quotes the Hebrew scriptures several times. She quotes the Psalms, and she quotes Hannah's song in 1 Samuel 1. Mary, like her aunt, knew the scriptures well. Now, because of this joy-filled and praise-filled encounter, it's no wonder that in verse 56 we read, Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and returned to her home. That means that she stayed with her aunt until the baby John was born. And I can only imagine what those conversations were like between those two women. They must have been encouraging each other, praying together about these unborn sons and all that God had promised. And I imagine all this good news would have been filled with joy and wonder. But we also know there's more to the story for these women. And God's plan included a great deal of future sorrow and loss for them. Both of them would lose their sons at a young age to tragic deaths. And that Messiah is now already on the scene in Mary's womb. He himself would be a man of joy and of sorrows. And God sent his only son so that we might have a way to new life through his sacrifice on the cross. He set us free from sin and death and promised us to return again, to come anew, so that he can put a final end to all sin, death, and suffering and evil will be fully vanquished. As we follow King Jesus, we are part of the glory of his kingdom come. And God has a call for each one of us if we're willing to submit to his holy plans through us, just like Zechariah and Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth. We all need spiritual friends, just like we saw Mary and Elizabeth were for one another. We need to look out for those relationships. You might find those in coffee hour or in a life group or in volunteering and serving together. And did you know that we carry God inside us in a way like Mary does? When we enter a room, it can change the atmosphere. We may know someone who exudes peace and joy, and don't we want to be around a person like that? Maybe you're here today and you have those questions. You're not sure you're hearing God's voice or would be able to discern it. You may need to seek out someone. Share with a friend. Be honest about what you're struggling with so they can pray with you and come alongside you and maybe speak those prophetic words into your life. Or maybe you've been on the journey with Jesus for a while and you need to look out for the people in your life that need to hear from you, to receive words and to be prayed over. When you do, you both will experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Mary and Elizabeth's encounter is not unique. And I recently heard a story about how God set off a Holy Spirit chain reaction here with women in our congregation. And I've been given permission from them to share it with you. And that is that one of our elders, last August, was talking to a trusted friend, and Kimberly decided, that she'd be vulnerable with a struggle she had carried for a long time. And so as she did, this friend spoke to her and then offered prayer. And Kimberly thought, well, I'm glad to take the prayer, but I've prayed for a long time, and God doesn't seem to be answering. But as the prayer took place, she said, all of a sudden, healing came immediately. And normally, she would not boast about these type of things. She would keep this privately to herself. But she felt very strongly that the Lord encouraged her. She needed to share this for the sake of others' encouragement. And she also realized in sharing it, she was praising God. The story wasn't about her. The story was about what God did through her and for her. And so more recently, she shared with a friend, Sheila, and just talked a little bit about what had happened for her. And as she did, Sheila said to her, you know, I've actually believed some of the same lies of the enemy. And Kimberly said she felt compelled to speak words she didn't even know she was going to say that were both strong and loving, reminding her to listen only for God's voice and no other. And then she offered to pray for Sheila. And Sheila said, between the testimony and the words spoken and the prayer, poof, that was her description. And if you know Sheila, she doesn't often poof like that, but she did. She poofed. And what she said was, in that moment, God transformed her thinking, and she immediately could see things from God's perspective. Isn't that amazing? She felt liberated. That chain reaction happened for both of them. And what I love about this story is that Kimberly was vulnerable. She opened herself up to God's healing by sharing it with someone at church and receiving prayer. But she's then filled with the Holy Spirit, which leads to praising God and sharing her testimony. And in so doing, the Holy Spirit moved in Sheila to receive her own healing and burst out in praise. Kimberly's words to her were like those of Elizabeth, prophetic ones that helped Sheila to see herself as God sees her. Now, each one of us here today can pray and speak into each other's lives prophetically. And as you heard with Elizabeth and Mary, it's often grounded in and includes Scripture. So we read the Bible and we study it in life groups and we hear it in sermons, and you might even hear a scripture that really speaks to you and you decide to memorize that one. Put it What we're doing in all of those ways, we're putting the scripture inside us. And then what the Holy Spirit can do is when we're with someone who's going through a difficult time, who asks for prayer, who's talking to us, God will bring those things to our memory in that moment. You will find the Holy Spirit praying scripture over someone else. It's a powerful thing. God uses us to proclaim and participate in signs and wonders for his holy purposes. Elizabeth and Mary had their calls confirmed. Both had a special mission in who they were birthing and raising, but it didn't end with them. God intends to do the same in us and through us. Know that the Holy Spirit is always on the move. Miracles still happen every day, and we need to be looking out for opportunities to be surprised by God. And in giving and receiving blessings, we encounter God, and joy creates joy, creates joy. We find ourselves like these pregnant mothers, bursting forth with wonder and praise to God. Elizabeth's words to Mary also apply to us. Blessed are all of us who believe that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to us from the Lord. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.